The Bisbee Arts Commission presents The Poet's Corner.
Michael Gregory is the author of several books of poetry, the most recent of which is Pound Laundry, published in 2020 by Red Dragonfly Press and available at reddragonflypress.org. His first two books were published by his own Mother Duck Press and were printed on an antique treadle-powered letterpress, which he set up in Bisbee in 1971. Over the next few years, he trained several local writers who, as the Bisbee Press Collective, printed both his and their own work, including two editions of the now-rare Bisbee Anthology. Michael was a co-founder of the Bisbee Poetry Festival and the Central School Artists Cooperative, where for 20 years he was executive director, including the host of a highly acclaimed Poet's Voice live reading series. Since 1971, he has lived off-grid on 40 acres in the Sulphur Springs Valley near Double Adobe. More of his writing is available on his website at www.michaelgregory.org.
Setting. Nighthawks dipping and weaving at sunset, man-o'-war wings and goat-sucker mouths. The mountains across the valley going from crimson to vermilion to ochre to blue-gray. Light wind out of the northeast. No rain when it comes from that quarter. Up valley, they're dropping new wells, 1,000+ feet to pump water, 1,000+ gallons a minute, times the number of wells for thousands of acres of pecans for the Chinese market, and ethanol corn to feed our fossil fuel suicide trip. Nightfall. Mars, so close to the Earth this summer, it's almost as bright before the moon comes up as Venus on the opposite side of the sky, setting toward the silhouette of horizon where the sun went down. Retrospect. All winter, my neighbors and I out here in the high desert had been seeing far more cottontails and jackrabbits than normal. Then, in early April, we started finding their bodies. No marks of predators or scavengers, just fresh bodies. By summer, the government was reporting thousands dead across the Southwest from a new hemorrhagic virus they said was unrelated to the COVID-19 that surged across the U.S. a month or so later. In late summer, hundreds of thousands of songbirds fell out of the sky along the Rocky Mountain flyways, starved to death by the combination of heat and drought preventing their plant and invertebrate food supply, and the unprecedented fury of forest fires forcing them into early migration without enough fuel to make it all the way south, and not enough food or water at the usual rest stops, dried up from the same drought, the same record heat that desiccated the forests. The dry washes that transect my 40 acres stayed dry this year, not once running with stormwater from the mountains as they used to several times each summer. The rains that used to come regular as rain never happened. The least rainfall in the past 20-year decline. No thunderheads building up each afternoon, no cloud bursts and lightning, no toad choruses from puddles and ponds after downpours. No downpours. This fall, for the first time in my life, I hung up feeders for the birds, because for the first time, as long as anyone can remember, there was no wild food, no seeds, no bugs. For the first time, I didn't rush to beat them and the bees to the apples and pears in the orchard, but watched bemused as they enjoyed the green fruit, sipped water from the drip emitters under the trees. And not just here. In the next valley west, the San Pedro, ribbon of life to hundreds of species, world famous for its biological diversity, never ran more than a trickle. none of the normal torrential floods we'd hoped would give the lie to that ugly, arrogant obscenity of the wall Homeland Security had built bank to bank across the riverbed. Obad. Waking again to the itch of a kissing bug drawing blood from my inner thigh, leaving in exchange secretions to irritate the penetrated flesh. The sun, not quite up, as I reiterate my morning exercises, stretching and flexing, breathing, keeping moral count in regimental columns of my brain, while in the remainder, you, as usual, disappear, except for the undeniable sense of presence men whose dreams you vex try to put their faith in. Rings on your fingers, bells on your toes, slipping off in the glint of daylight at the window as things begin to define themselves out of the animal darkness. What was there before, here again, just as I remember it, this familiar interior, while outside, doves and a plaintive Phoebe repeat themselves. Pillow talk. You, of course, will call it love. And I, afraid to rope it in like a calf for its first branding, will say, I don't know what to call it. I will say there is something, I don't know what. My words can only make it small. And you, of course, being more familiar with the heart, will call it love. I will know in my heart it is not this, not that, but try to please you with metaphors and similes, moonlight cupped in the hand, flight that only exists as wings in motion. You will point to the stars coming up each night, rivers joining the resurgent tide, the ache of flowers to become fruit, and you will call it love. I will fall silent, wanting not to lose in a generosity of words the delicate mystery of feeling. You will think me sullen, try to tease me out of it, and that, too, call love. I will say it's like parallel lines converging at infinity, the opposite sides of squares becoming round, not to be confused with the flesh and blood that embodies it, the desire of a moment, appetite that is satisfied and dies. You will grow somber. Speaking of flames rekindled, the seasons rise and fall, life itself consisting of moments, calling it love that gives each moment birth. I will say, Andreas and Marie, having nothing better to do, would have delighted in what they would call this sweet dispute. You will counter with Maeve and Ailill, Penelope and Ulysses, ask what better use can be made of their time together. Then talking about it, I will ask, and you will say, then knowing what they're talking about. I will say, I'm at a loss for words. The cat will have my tongue, touch being the only language in which I understand your meaning. And you, of course, will purr and call it love. We were the love generation. All you need is love, said John Lennon. We were the love generation in that century of war and atrocities, our lives spent chasing our tails from bedroom trade deals to board game currencies, cultural and intellectual capital, antique mating rituals in modern undress. Impelled by sex-crazed genes to perpetuate our kind while trying to find a way out from in under, to get behind the sense of loss at the outset, the skipped first beat, the zero constitutive of the sequence, but still empty, the heart's desire to overcome the difficulty blind monads have communicating, the slim chance of recognizing who or what besides reproductions of our own alienation, cunning configurations of illusory subjects and objects we seem to keep bumping into on our shortcuts toward death. Unable, even with the best intentions, to bring together enchantment by the new with peace of mind in the commonplace, or find the grail of pluralism without the rot of individual egos on the one hand, utter schizophrenia on the other. Dog eat dog, business class anarchy, ladders of knives in the backs of our kin, legs spread, face to the wall, up against the fact that ideas are a dime a dozen, only actions count. That we seem not only to be intransitive verbs looking for nouns in a primal soup of prepositions and interjections, but cognitive fields made up of memory, will, fear, and imagination driven by desire. That our essential obligation is not to ourselves, community, order, truth, or power, but to this mortal world, this home we share with each other. Bubble wrap. Bubble, bubble, that incantation of witches' rhyme and alliteration, reiterated and played upon by powers of darkness and light, left and right, exhilarating changes, combinations, and permutations, accelerating contamination, unhinging everything inside and out the concave lens we peer through with jaundiced eye on 20/20 hindsight and foghorn Janus visions of tomorrow, keeping our distance as best we can, restrain, refrain, expanding our field of personal space to two arms' length, avoiding even the rub of elbows, renegotiating the metrics required to draw a free breath without the masks, common sense, common decency, and peril dictate we wear, estimating the risk in holding one another dear.